Okay. Ready? Hello, everyone. It's Wednesday, August 16th. This is a regular meeting of the Township Committee as published in the Hunterdon Review. The meeting notice was posted on the Township Bulletin Board and as a courtesy on the Township website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. We're going to rise for the flag salute and followed by a moment of silence for our first responders, our frontline workers, and the members of the military.
Pledge to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Roll call. I circled it so we could get used to doing it.
Present.
Here.
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 First order of business is presentation of the minutes. The minutes of the regular and executive session of August 2nd, 2023 meetings. Any discussion or a motion to approve or amend, whatever you have?
I'll make a motion to approve the regular and executive session minutes for August 2nd, 2023.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. I'm going to have to skip a beat with Abe not there. That's. We're going to make, I need a motion to adjourn the public hearing to September's. Oh, geez, that's in there too. Okay. Can I get a motion to open a public comment? Agenda items only.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Hi, good evening. Rich Webb, Anthony Road. I see on the new business an item, township funding for Squires Point Insurance discussion. So obviously you're going to have a discussion and we'll see what that's all about when you discuss it. But I can only surmise from what's said here that this would suggest that the township either is considering or has already or it's proposed or it's been done in the past, it's proposed to be done in the future. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know anything about it. Funding of, I assume, insurance premiums or expenses for the Squires Point organization. And I have nothing against the Squires Point organization whatsoever. Which I understand is a nonprofit 501c3 organization. I'm sure it does a lot of good work. But I just think that's, if that's what's happening or has happened, I think that's something that we need to understand. And to the extent that that's something the township is has been or wants to be involved with, I'm part of an organization, Save Lebanon Township Coalition, that's also a nonprofit tax-exempt organization that's doing a lot of good work on behalf of the township. And we could use a lot of money, too. So those are my comments.
Good evening. Keith Galloway, Mount Lebanon Road. I, too, just happened to see this under new business. I'm a neighbor of Squires Point. I'm not so sure if it's the Squires Point Grange Hall building or there's property behind that, which is also now called Squires Point. I mean, I don't know, did the township perhaps purchase Squires Point property behind the Grange Hall, or is that what the insurance is for, I guess I'm asking.
Well, we'll get to it. Yeah, we'll,
okay.
Yeah.
Because if it isn't, and if it's for the building, well, I don't know. If I put my house in an LLC, is the township responsible for my insurance? I mean, that's kind of what I question. But
don't answer that. Mm-hmm. Don't answer that.
Kathy Philosopher,
Lakeland Road, and I just have a question because the pension thing's been on the agenda, and I just wanted to know if there was any, what it was about. Is it CWA related? Or I know you can't talk about it, so but it's been on for a while.
Anyone else? No.
Just out of curiosity, what event's going on November 21st that there's a raffle application in? Do we know?
We'll get to that, right?
Okay. the other question is, I don't know what the policy is on accepting raffle applications. If it's just, you know, if they have a complete application, you accept it. But if there is discretion, Animal Protection League of New Jersey is against a lot of things our township is for, such as bear hunting in general. So just something to consider, if that's a possibility.
Well, maybe we'll loop him in when it comes to that, the attorney, when we talk about it. That's a good point. Any other public comment? Agenda items only? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
Make a motion to close public comment.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up, there were a couple of things going on, and they involved the fire inspector and the fire official. The first one, we're not going to open the public hearing. We're going to adjourn it to September 6th, and that would be for the ordinance amending Chapter 214, which is Ordinance Number 2023-06. That is going to be, we'll have them combine both the ordinance for the salary amendment that adds the fire inspector, and then we'll have the ordinance that updates the fire official and fire inspector ordinance at the same time, and then hopefully, if all goes well, we'd be able to appoint the fire inspector at the September 6th meeting, if all goes well. So with that, I need a motion to continue, a motion to adjourn the Ordinance Number 2023-06, an ordinance amending Chapter 214, Article 214-7 of the Code of the Township of Lebanon, entitled Appointments, Term of Office Removal, to September 6th.
The public hearing or adjourned?
Right, and that'll be the date for the public hearing, right.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the public hearing for Ordinance Number 2023-06 to September 6th, 2023.
And we need a second.
Second.
Roll call.
I have no background on this, so I'm going to abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Next up is the introduction of Ordinance Number 2023-07, amending the salary ordinance that we adjusted it for adding a fire inspector, but we also had to make a couple of other changes that we noticed on the salary ordinance that was introduced at the first of the year, the reorg meeting. So can I get a motion to introduce Ordinance Number 2023-07, amending the salary ordinance?
I'll make a motion to introduce Ordinance Number 2023-07, amend salary ordinance. Public hearing, September 6, 2023.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Next up are the resolutions. The first one will be, if you remembered last meeting, we accepted Patrolman Chris Bork's resignation, but we're going to be doing that through a memorializing it by resolution. So can I have a motion to approve Resolution Number 96-2023, memorializing acceptance of resignation of Patrolman Christopher Bork?
I'll make that motion with regrets, memorializing the acceptance of Christopher Bork's resignation.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next up is Resolution Number 97-2023, which is the purchase of for the DPW of a Hunter wheel balancer. If you remember, we had this on the agenda at the last meeting, and we needed to table it because we didn't want to memorialize it. We wanted to actually have a resolution to approve it, and that's what you have in front of you. So with that, is there any discussion? Can I have a motion to approve Resolution Number 97-2023, awarding contract to Mohawk Lifts, LLC, and authorizing purchase of wheel balancer and related equipment under State Contract Number 22-Fleet-01983?
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 97-2023, purchase of Hunter wheel balancer.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is the same situation. Last time we tabled the purchase of the 2023 Case boom mower for the DPW so that we could prepare the resolution. So is there any discussion on the purchase of the 2023 Case boom mower?
So this includes the tractor and the mower system for a total of $176,409.92.
Right.
I will make that motion for Resolution Number 98-2023.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Next up is Resolution Number 99-2023, which is the shared service agreement for the special law enforcement officers Class 1 and Class 2 and 3 for Voorhees High School. And this was, at the last meeting, we had authorization to just send it to the school to get on their 8:15 agenda, but I noticed it wasn't on the 8:15 agenda, and it looks like their business administrator is going to push it to September, is what the answer I got today. But this is the resolution that is the official document for that agreement. So any discussion?
Mayor, just as a reminder, under the Shared Services Act, those agreements cannot become effective unless and until they adopt the resolution as well, both parties sign. So.
Oh, okay. So that's a good point. So let me just make a note.
Let's make sure they hold up their end of the bargain.
Yeah. So if the contract kind of expires, the old one, they just continue with the old contract until you're obviously going to have police officers in the school. You're not going to pull your police officers out if the contract ends. Let me see what the date is here. I thought it was.
The agreement. Pardon me.
So how do we craft the?
No, you can adopt your resolution. I would just adopt your resolution. They have to adopt the resolution.
Okay. We don't have to make a contingent upon.
Yeah.
Well, it already says it. I haven't covered.
Right. I mean, obviously, we're past June, and this is a June to June 2024. So
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution Number 99-2023, Shared Service Agreement, SOEO for East High School.
Okay. I'll second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Next up is the other part of Voorhees High School, Resolution Number 100-2023, Shared Service Agreement for the Special Resource Officer, which is a patrolman that's in the school. And same situation applies. They both have to adopt by resolution. Let's see.
Make a motion to approve Resolution 100-2023 to supply a shared services agreement for school resource officer for North Hunter and Voorhees Regional High School.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Yes.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is Resolution 101-2023, which is the shared service agreement with for the SLEOs for the Wood Glen. And it's identical to the agreement for North Hunter and Voorhees for the special law enforcement officers. They don't have the special resource officer. They're over there, so the SLEOs. Any discussion? Can I get a motion to approve Resolution Number 101-2023, Shared Service Agreement for the SLEO for Lebanon Township Local School?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is resolution number 102-2023, which is memorializing the approval of an electrical work for Lebanon Township Fire Department Fire Station number 2. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to memorialize and approve the electrical work for Lebanon Township Fire Department Station 2, resolution number 102-2023, for the amount of $5,449.20. The contractor is Hope Electric, LLC, 505 West Hill Road, Glen Garner, New Jersey.
Okay. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Next is resolution number 103-2023, redemption of a tax sale certificate. Whereas the tax collector did sell a tax sale certificate number 22-6 on 12/15/2022 to G-Tech Capital, LLC, whereas the amount of $93,312.93 has been collected from Trimmer Road Company, LLC, for Block 44, Lot 20, 412 Trimmer Road, Califon, for the redemption of tax sale certificate number 22-6. Therefore, be it resolved that the treasurer be authorized to prepare and the mayor, treasurer, deputy clerk be authorized to sign a check in the amount of $93,312.93 for the redemption and a check in the amount of $30,000 for the premium payable to G-Tech Capital, LLC. Any discussion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 103-2023, as stated.
Okay. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. With that, I put on the agenda a municipal door update, and I don't know if, Mike, you want to talk about it, or...
There's no update to what I sent you last week.
Well, the committee needs to know.
I sent it to the whole committee last week. That,
that's a quorum, because there was discussion going back and forth. And
part of the order came in on time, part of the order, some hardware seems to be back-ordered, so they're telling us September full order should come in.
Yeah.
Hardware, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I know, because it's been like, I know there was COVID and everything, but I'm just wondering if there's a point where you have to do something else. I don't know what that is, but it seems like it's never going to get here with that particular firm. And I don't know if, is it Anderson? Do we go to Pella? I really don't know. It's not my area of expertise, but it just seems like, because I took some pictures. I didn't take those pictures on purpose. I was coming out of the lunchroom, and I saw the rot at the bottom, and I could see the gravel coming through on the frame. Now, I know the frame is already over there at Opdyke, right? So it's the doors that they're waiting for.
The hardware, I think you said.
The hardware parts. The doors aren't there because they install the hardware on the doors before they ship them.
They stole the hardware?
Latches and things get... I'm not into the production system of Anderson. I don't know exactly.
But it looked like, what you had said is that there's like a frame that's already over there. They're waiting for parts.
There's side lights and
side lights, that's
trim.
It. Yeah.
I didn't go over to see it.
Yeah. And then I just, as I was reading through all of the history of this, I noticed that we have that labor situation that we have to go out again for quotes for labor. Okay, so Warren's got that.
I'm going to look into... Once the doors arrived and once the doors in our possession, that Warren would then take over the actual, Brian and I think Warren would take over the actual installation process, who they would get to do it. If Warren works with numerous people throughout the town. Mm-hmm. He'd probably use someone similar to that to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, we've gone so far with this. They've held the price within $200 of the original price.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're just going to have to stay the course we are right now and hopefully get that door in near term.
Yeah. All right. So that's that. And there's no action to be taken. So that with that, we move on to new business, which is the approval of the raffle application for Animal Protection League of New Jersey. For November 21st, 2023. I don't know if you want to comment on what Sharon Petzinger said, if their views are different. Can we discriminate? I don't know how that works.
Well, can you discriminate? No.
I've never seen us do a raffle that was outside of our local jurisdiction, like the church or such.
Well, apparently Karen had, the clerk has a list of people who come all the time. The same people come. This is
a
one-off.
Do you have, an ordinance then with applications for licenses? And they fulfill the requirements of the ordinance and the application?
That would be my view, that there's no implication that we endorse their views or don't endorse
Correct.
Their views. Mm-hmm.
It's just that New Jersey requires, if someone's going to have a raffle, it requires you to follow the process. If they're following the process and they give the organization, has a Glenn Gardner address and has the people on it, and they've done everything you do and they pay the necessary fee, I don't think there is any discretion.
Yeah. So they met the requirements, right, Kim? You go through the checklist. You've been through this a million times.
I certainly wouldn't recommend them because you don't agree with their views.
I know.
I would have been in jail a long time ago. That would be.
Yeah. That's right. I had to ask, though.
That's right.
I knew the answer, but I had to ask. So with that, any discussion other than what we just had? And if not, is there a motion to approve the raffle application for Animal Protection League of New Jersey, November 21st, 2023?
I'll make that motion to approve the raffle application.
1 second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, the next up is Lebanon Township Athletic Association request for sports fields.
Tables, benches.
Oh, that jump! I jumped right over that. Okay, there was so much on this agenda. The next up is authorizing the DPW to dispose of picnic table and benches behind the municipal building. And I'm going to turn this over to Brian, since it was your agenda item.
Sure. I don't know if anyone's on the committee's looked at them, but the benches and the one picnic table in the back here are really poor shape. And to the point where they're kind of unsafe even. I mean, they're kind of disgusting. So I think we need to get them disposed of, and maybe at a later date we can find some funds to put something there that'll last a little bit longer other than wood.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion.
One second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Now we have Lebanon Township Athletic Association request for sports fields at Memorial Park, and I'm going to ask Andy to come up and just do a little discussion. I mean, we all read what you put out, and I also went back 4 years and read what went into Mark Bolin, that's that T-Rex. yeah, you could hand them out. Thank you.
Thank you.
So this is a general overview of what we're trying to do. It's ideally two fields over here at Memorial. This is not the scale or exact locations, but it's a general idea of what we're hoping to accomplish. The big one is a field hockey field, which would be like this oriented here, between the school and that field and that area there. And then the other smaller one is a combo baseball softball field, which would be in back next to where the other baseball field is. So I reached out. This has been a multi-year journey. Most of those delays have really fallen on me. It started before COVID. The reason we are asking for this, first of all, is financial. We don't know what the cost would be, but when we do, I'm going to expect that it's more than LTA would be able to do for ourselves, so we would need help to do that. The reason why is our programs, baseball, softball, and field hockey, have grown significantly in terms of numbers of kids and registrations. And we also travel to other towns, and the fields that the other towns have are generally, as nicely as I can say it, better than what we have. So specifically in field hockey, I know it may seem counterintuitive, but you're trying to whack the ball down the field, you need kind of a better surface to do that, or make it as easy as possible. and we don't have anything dedicated for field hockey now. They play on Field 3 at Woodland School, which is shared with Woodland Field Hockey, and our soccer and the school's field hockey. So the pathway here is I, in my research, found a consultant who deals with these things, knows the purchasing, knows the fields. He would be willing to work with the township engineer to develop a cost estimate so that we could then say, here's what it costs, can we get this done? So my ask here today is, can the committee authorize the township engineer, which would cost some funds, I don't know how much, to work with our consultant, and we would pay this consultant to find out what the cost would be to construct these two fields.
So
before I can you before I, can I say one thing before you
sure.
start that? I was looking at it too, and I'm thinking about the open space funds. Is that do we have would they have to present to the county or anything to get these funds? I thought there was something when we were looking at the stage that you had to if you're going to use that money.
It's our open space trust fund is run by us. We have
okay.
to make sure we're compliant with state statutes that govern it, since the tax is collected under the Green Acres program. But
mm-hmm.
we decide whether it conforms and
mm-hmm.
whether it's good use.
Okay. So it's no dog and pony show
no.
anywhere other than here.
Right.
Okay. Then you can talk about it.
So looking at our infrastructure that we have now, the football field is not a regulation-sized football field, so it doesn't work for field
not,
hockey.
Yeah.
Field hockey is the same length but wider, and then you need the zoning on either
yeah,
side.
Yeah, actually a little longer.
Can't turn it sideways or anything like that
right.
to accommodate that field. As you know, we had a Rossi Recreation Open Space Plan in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
It's well documented here, and my feeling is that this might be a land use where the planning board may want to review the 2017 open space recreation plan that they have. I have it here in front of me. It's well done, and it takes the whole town into consideration, and I believe that it does refer to a future need of a field hockey, soccer, lacrosse combination field, so it would be more than one field. So that's one of the options. I thought that maybe this is land use. Maybe the planning board would be interesting in taking a look at this before we move into land use procedures. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Makes sense.
Because they have done this. They took a lot of time into this.
No. What I was going to say is that certainly they developed the is a recreation plan as part of your land use element? Is that what that is?
You know,
as part of the master
yeah.
plan?
It's
right,
well documented.
Right.
I think first the committee should review it, and the planning board may want to look at it.
Right.
And
just,
it
but I mean, I think
some of the needs that
right.
you're talking about.
And I think ultimately, though, just so you know, to the extent, I mean, they've done their stuff. You because it's municipal use. If you were to go in that direction, you don't need formal approval of the planning board to build it, like
right.
an applicant would.
Mm-hmm. Now, I thought I read somewhere way back in one of the years that the park committee at that time was okay with this. I thought I saw that in there somewhere. Now it's probably a different version.
I definitely said that, and that was yeah.
Yeah,
that was them.
It's like 2017 or 18 or
yeah, it was a while.
So the other question is, there's other venues. You did work with the Educational Service Commission for a while. They have a field hockey field there that's not been lined, hasn't been used. They have sleeves for goals, and there was a point that they may consider an extra field, but I think the communications has broken down as well.
I think so, because that was actually not.
Well,
I knew they had
LTA changes hands, I would say, you
yes.
know,
mm-hmm.
right. Okay, so this is back 6 years ago when
okay.
this was all taken. I think everyone should take a look at this and read this and review it. It's in depth. It's good.
I had definitely talked to them when I first became president.
There's a lot of LTAA reference in here. So I found it, you know, educational for myself to take
okay.
a look at.
I realized, too, that that's a state organization, that ESC is not a county, even though it says Hunterdon County Educational Services.
This is our town.
It's
looking
yeah.
at future
so
needs.
Where would the funds come from? That's what I want to know.
That's the big question.
Yeah,
open space may.
That's my concern. With
professionally,
looking for an administrative level, open space funds really wouldn't be an area that we'd look to. We've talked about that before.
You, when you say administratively, you mean as far as soft costs? When I say soft costs, I'm talking about engineers, planners, stuff like that. Depending on your ordinance, in the past referendum did include using the open space tax for active recreation.
I think it's all six categories.
Okay, all categories. Mm-hmm. So you can typically use a percentage, reasonable percentage for that when you're dealing with planning purposes, as long as the goal is with respect to that. You don't want to use all the funds for soft costs.
It's
not unheard of to use, since you have an open space, and if you want to have an active open space, you have to plan it, you have to engineer it, mm-hmm. and there's costs associated with that. So it's not, you can use a portion, you can use those funds to cover some of those soft costs.
What I worry about is when I was reading some of the information about the overuse and the times of the year, will this help with overuse because you'll have extra fields?
Yeah, so example, field 3, one of the ones behind Woodland, is now in the fall, LKA soccer, Woodland field hockey, LKA field hockey. You could have the Yankee Stadium grounds for mm-hmm. work on that, and it would be terrible by the end of the year. So this would pull some of that
plus
you saw,
Yankees.
And certainly let the school mm-hmm. come play here if they want, and the high school if they wanted to practice here at certain points. But, yeah, it would pull, lessen the load on some of those fields.
Yeah, because somebody's going to have to maintain them. That's
yes.
the other thing, and where does that money come from, the maintenance?
Definitely a question.
And then the other question I thought about is, if there's going to be more traffic of kids crossing Bunvale Road, that to me is, we've got to try to figure that one out, because those people come flying up that hill.
I would agree.
And like, you know, right now they're coming across, but if they're coming across a lot more
right.
because of the fields, we have to really protect the kids.
We do.
The other thing to think about too is if it's open space and it's on your Rossi,
mm-hmm.
then it's open to the whole public. So you couldn't just limit it to, you know, limited township use.
Yeah, you're the open space coordinator. Is it on the? It's on the Rossi, right?
The Memorial Park is on the Rossi.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
No, your point is
right.
Yeah. Correct.
So it could come anybody.
Correct.
But practically speaking, we can't really fence in a field that. I mean, it's open now.
No, I'm just saying. Even if you had the fact, because it's on public open space and it's on your Rossi.
Yeah.
That. Under state regs, that opens up to everybody.
So
you can certainly give preference to Lebanon Township, but let's say there was another organization who wanted to use those fields, you could not say no, you can't use it because you're not from Lebanon Township.
So then you need somebody to coordinate who's using it when.
Operating, typically, that's what happens in towns.
Mm-hmm. Well, that actually happened with volleyball and Boy Scouts, too, so kind of like, you know.
I'm just raising issues.
With the money involved and stuff, I'm not in favor of it because my priority right now in this town is to find money to take care of these tree issues that we have with the ash trees and the roadways. I think that's more important.
I'm trying to think of what next steps we could do here.
Maybe a way to push it forward.
The question is, I have no idea what scale of cost we're talking about.
I wouldn't guess because it wouldn't be an educated guess.
And that's what I'm wondering, if your consultant can help us just narrow that to bigger than a bread box or
he might be able to narrow it down. I mean, his approach was to work with the township engineer. I'm not how he.
And I understand to know the grading and things to get it narrow, to get it more precise. But
I can ask him if
they'll pay for their.
When this came up a year or two ago, I talked to people from Mansfield because they have a beautiful facility over there.
Yes, that was one of the ones that I got.
And a lot of that work was done by their DPW department, so there was no way to get a good calculation of how much it costs to do that.
But if you're going to do a field,
I can certainly see what he can do. I mean, he's going. When I asked this, he was a guy talking to an engineer, so that's kind of...
Without a doubt.
Where we are possible.
And if he could... I know our township engineer has limited in-house resources. I would be curious what exactly he needs from the township engineer. If he needs a survey, I don't know that our engineer is a surveyor.
I'd ask the park folks, and he asked about a grading plan.
Yeah, that's what I assume would be the survey. Mm-hmm.
The park folks, we're not aware of one.
I don't think we have...
Okay.
But that's what I mean. Whether we go through our engineer, whether we get a couple of quotes from a surveyor, once we know exactly what the consultant says he needs,
okay.
I mean, because this wouldn't be road engineering type stuff. This would be, I assume, more shooting grades on a survey.
You know, and I'm thinking no matter what happens here, if it goes forward, we have to really think out every little detail and get that it gets communicated so there's no misunderstandings anywhere.
Does the school, Woodland School, have any more area for fields?
There's some stuff way in the back, but it's way down, and I suspect it's pretty damp when it rains.
That was referenced in the open space plan, that they might have an additional field.
Correct.
I don't also know the size of that one. The field hockey field is like 100 yards by 60 yards, just a playing surface. You need a pretty big area, but I can check on that as well.
Is that bigger or smaller than a soccer field?
Big.
What's that?
The field hockey, because I think ESC that you referred to, I think that was a soccer field in front with the sleeves for the goal.
I think the soccer field is that, well, depending on what, if 11 players are on a soccer field, it's the biggest field.
Okay.
It's 120 feet long, and it's 75 feet wide.
Yeah.
Okay. So it would be almost what a field hockey overrun area is.
Yeah.
Right.
Feels like the ball does move pretty fast.
Yeah, it's easy to Google this stuff. You know what I mean? They give you the fields.
Yeah.
But I agree it's worth talking to the ESC again to see. I agree it's worth for LTAA to talk to the ESC. And
okay. I think so. I mean, there's an opportunity. If there's an opportunity there, that's...
Yeah. Because that's an existing field, like you said.
That would add an additional field, potentially.
Yeah, and then I'll check.
And then I think what we could do is form a subcommittee once we get some more information to if we're going to go forward or even explore. I think that would be, you know.
Well, are we going to park all the cars for the carnival?
Well, this is what I mean. You have to think it all through. Somebody has to focus on it.
Yeah.
Would you like to do
it? No, thank you.
So I will talk to the consultant, see what he has
to do. Yeah, let's start
before. I'll also reach out to ESC. I'll send an email.
Let's start there, see where we go.
Okay.
Did you get his name, his full name?
Yeah. Andrew. Corbin, K-O-R. This is Brian Diane. You're like a reporter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That was funny.
You're like reporting you think.
I know.
I'm president of LTA, which is Lebanon Township Athletic Association. It's on the website.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you for making this happen. So
okay.
Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, well, I don't like to kick the can down the road. Get it off my back. Okay. You know, get it moving. Next up is the, this is just a discussion. It's every year we have the holiday tree lighting. Now, we did do some groundskeeping, and the dead trees by the sign are not there anymore. I know you had some new information.
They're not trees, they're shrubs.
All right, well, you have the picture there, you're right. They formed into bushes after a while. They were too close to the sign anyway. You had some information, Tom, about the big tree?
Well, they asked if the decorations have been engulfed in the big tree, apparently.
Like embedded?
Yes, and so some are dropped. They would like to see if we could find someone who would gratuitously help with a bucket truck and remove the lighting that's within the tree. I've asked around to a couple of the tree guys, and it's really not getting traction right now. But I will ask some more to see if we can get the lighting out of the tree. And potentially they would like to relight it. But there lies the problem again. It almost has to come on and off every year.
Right.
Otherwise, it's engulfed in the tree.
Right. And that's
and then
always
it starts dropping. And
yeah, that's been, since I've been on the committee, that's one of the problems that I had. The balls were rolling. In April, the balls are still up. Sometimes I've picked them up and brought some in, and then some would still be in there, and they would fall out a couple months later. You thought you had them all. So, I mean,
needless to say, the historians would like to do something this year.
Right. Okay. I can't imagine not having a tree lighting.
Okay.
So even if I have to get a potted plant and bring, you know what I mean? Anything to. I mean, it's not like it's impossible, but it is good to start. It's mid-August. It's going to be here before you know it.
Right.
And so I'm going to keep this coming onto the, we're going to do some research and we'll keep this onto the agenda. And just keep, and finally
maybe
we'll have some.
Maybe if we have to, we could rent a lift or something.
But that's, I don't know. I just, I think that that is such a big, bushy, it's so cumbersome, that tree. And and again, just decorating is one thing. You need a bucket truck for that with the lights. And then when all the wild enthusiasm is over and everybody goes back, nobody wants to be the one to pick it up. So.
Sounds like my house.
Yeah.
Well, nobody picked it up last year. I had
well, that's what I mean. This has been going on for 7 years.
Whose lights they were.
Okay, so next up is just a discussion on the township funding of Squires Point Insurance. And this is really, it's a very quick, Mark, you're going to look into this? Is that how you're going to, I gave you some documents,
Yeah, I think the issue becomes, and I don't know enough about it, other than the fact that what it is, 501c3s utilizing payer tax dollars for private interests, what limitations there are, if there are any ethical considerations based upon that.
Could I provide just some background? So I'm involved with Squires Point. I'm going to abstain from voting the township, but obviously I have a township interest and a Squires Point interest. For the history of this, 6-7 years ago, I mean, Squires Point is from the 1970s. They were involved with rehabilitating the museum when it was broken down in the 1970s, getting it donated to the township. Went a little bit dormant for a while, so six, 7 years ago, it reinvigorated itself. There were very, just like for Friends of the Park, which is a 501c3, where most of the appointed park committee members also sit on the 501c3, before my time, the township viewed that to make sure there's no loophole in which organization might have a liability issue, the township procured liability insurance for the Friends of Memorial Park. So as the Squires Point organization, which had a lot of interlocking, the historians were members of the historians and Squires Point, the township, it's a little bit of a misnomer to say township funding, because Squires Point never asked for insurance, never was given the funds to go buy insurance. The township bought insurance for the organization at Squires Point.
We voted on that, though.
Yeah, it was voted. Yeah. It was done. There's no doubt about it that it was purchased. But it wasn't done as a donation to help Squires Point. It was done because somebody recognized risk of having interlocking boards and making sure that there was no ambiguity who had liability. To me, it's a pure legal question.
Yeah, I think there's. I think a lot of times, I think what you have to look at, you know, and aside from, I think it all starts though with the fact that when you utilize tax dollars and their purpose, right? So, well, if you have and using public tax dollars, because it all is public tax dollars. And it to the benefit of a private organization.
And then it should not be done. There's no disagreement on that.
And that's the issue.
It's only if it benefits the township. And that's my understanding, that some years ago the township determined that it was in the township's interest to
Right. So which again, because I wasn't here, but it seems as if a lot of people, because there's, you know, you come across, and this is an issue that I came across, again, it's experience, where even when a municipality utilizes its tax dollars, but say uses its staff and stuff to promote a position or defend a position, and it's, when you look at it, it's sort of innocuous, but you know, when they change the law regarding referendum questions for budgets, right? They actually wrote into it, I think, the fact that municipalities, could they go out and politic, right, in support of the budget question. Happens a lot of time with fire districts, right? When you have fire budgets, usually what happens is the fire districts are out there saying support the budget. Mm-hmm. But for DCA said that, I think in those instances, if in fact you needed to get the referendum questions, the township couldn't go out and say pass the referendum question. For ethical reasons, they couldn't do it, and then there's similar under New Jersey ethic laws dealing with you know, the utilization of tax dollars and then who it's benefiting and if in fact that's a conflict, right? So I think, you know, when the mayor had approached that, I said, well, and I always start with that for your protection and the township's protection, and then dealing with the issue of utilizing, again, federal public funds for a private purpose, and understanding that. So that's what I have to understand. And I know, like, the park group, now the ordinance, township's code expressly recognizes that group and says that here it is, and they're going to raise money for the purpose of the park. I haven't looked at the code to see if there's something similar
right.
for this.
If you were to look at the historian's ordinance, you would see that Squire's Point is mentioned in there right. because it was recognized as a
yeah, and I, you know,
doing similar.
Right, so I have to look at I'll look at all that and okay. see what it is, and it could very well have been that while they may have considered when they made that decision. Nobody was looking from the ethical point of view either.
Oh, I'm
right?
sure. I suspect they mm-hmm. were. I'm sure everything was done properly right. and that it was done for the township's interest. I think we should make that assumption.
Yeah.
That's the way it was done.
Well, I don't presume anything.
I'm just saying, it's only because it happened.
Because people, you just don't know. I mean, you know, a lot of things that I come across is because I experienced it. So yep. I want to make sure that that's the case, make sure that, you know, and right, it's. Intentional, it's not to say it's intentional, but I think the issues come to light yeah. and then you examine. I think that's one of those the same thing. And just while we're on it, the same thing as the new.
Before you get onto something else, then, I believe this premium is due September 6th, so this becomes a moot point if there's no action taken by the township to renew it.
Right.
So.
If they're not going to renew it, then it doesn't get paid. But I think the issue.
No, but I mean, Squire's Point as an organization will have liability insurance.
Right.
So, if the town just makes no decision, Squire's Point will take care of their own insurance.
Yeah, I get that, but I think it's important to know. I would think that the governing body would know that.
I want
to know the issue.
I'd like to find out. I tried to get it today. I thought it was like around September, October of 2018 when we did the museum bathroom. It was around that time that also came up.
Yeah.
And I don't have any agendas when I look back. I just see the audios, and I didn't have time. So, Kim, is there a way to search the agendas from the year 2018 or 19 and find a topic? Can you search by a topic?
I,
so I, when in my free time, I'll try to find it. That's what I'll do. That's,
yeah. I
could zero you in. It's got to be. When did we do the bathroom? Was it when did we vote on the bathroom? Was it 2019?
Probably 18.
And it was around September, October.
Late 18, I don't know exactly.
Start there, and see what you come up with. And they should probably have because we did discuss it. And in my mind, I keep thinking that the discussion centered around we paid for Friends of Memorial Park, but they're dedicated to the township property totally, whereas Squire's Point is more broad.
Yeah.
You know, the good works are beyond. I don't even know if they go outside of the township as well. It's at sometimes, but if you look at the mission statement, so.
Right.
What's the address of Squire's Point?
It uses my address as a mailing address.
Oh.
Okay, so we just wrap up that discussion for today? I mean, I'm not prepared to vote.
If you discuss it, then there's no discussion. But I just wanted to correct the public's impression that this was a donation by the township or funding of something to a 501c3. It was the township's decision some years ago to protect its interest that it took out that policy. There was never a request from any other side to do that.
You know, it was interesting. When I was doing the research, I just realized that there was, I guess, a booster club, Voorhees Booster, 501c3 maybe, and they actually had to give the township insurance to show that they were insured. It was like the other way around. So this is, I that's as far as I got, but that was late today, so I couldn't do any more research. So with that, that's...
The two things I notice about this is, one, the historian committee's involved. Some coexist on both. And Squire's Point's named in one of our ordinances. When you research, if that makes a difference, let's just look at that.
Yeah, I'll start with the code. I always start.
You know.
And then from a liability perspective, what I understand is that typically if the town has... if they weren't protected against liability, they would have a policy in their name But to the extent that a third party is doing something, I mean, the mayor alluded, just stated that, to the extent that it's a third party, that they're doing something on the town's behalf, but it's not part of the township, then they should have their own policy.
Say, for example, the annual meeting is held at the Squire's Point. They usually have it at the museum, right?
Is often at the museum, but it's been at different locations.
Are there any, and there are events that they might put on at the museum?
It's generally co-sponsored events.
See, that's where it gets gray.
That's what I'm saying, mingled.
You know, but that still doesn't.
Yeah, but it
still goes back to what you're saying.
I don't have questions to ask, but it's Squire's Point is a LLC. I don't know what is it.
It's a
corporation.
It's an Inc. It's
all right. So it's incorporated. It's a 501c3. It stands on its own. Mm-hmm. So whatever it does, it's responsible for. To the extent that it does stuff on township property, okay, like any other organization. So when the town is allowing a third party to utilize its property, then that organization should have its own liability insurance to protect its interest. And like we did with the fireworks, right? The town then gets named as an additional insured, and so that their interests are protected. To the extent that they do things that somehow, you know, help the town, that's fine. But I don't think it takes away the issue of liability and then who's responsible for liability, right? That doesn't change. They're what they do doesn't matter. How they're formed matters. From a legal perspective and from a liability perspective. Because what you don't want to do, what a municipality doesn't want to do, and I always say this, governments need to stay in their lane, right? Government has a purpose. Governments has very governments can only do what the Constitution says it does and what state statute says it can do. Beyond that, it shouldn't be doing things. And too many times where towns, municipalities, not any municipality, any government, and you can look up and down from the federal government down where they get themselves in trouble as they start going in areas that it's not government, right? You know, and it's fine to have quote-unquote partnerships, private-public partnerships. They work well. But there's a clear distinction, private, public. And you don't commingle them because what you don't want is the public public entity to become immersed and enmeshed in what's going on privately, because you don't have that ability. Because ultimately, it's the residents, the taxpayers, that you all answer to. The private organization doesn't. And they have no right to. And you need to keep the two separate and apart. So.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about, like, when you're talking about commingling, say like you're at the museum, for example, and Squire's Point is serving the wine for like a wine and cheese party, but the historians are there. So somebody gets tipsy, walks out the door.
The museum's a township property.
Yeah.
Right.
No beer.
Well, I mean, it depends. If if you're going to have, and so to the extent that a 501c, whether it's a Squire's group or any other entity, is permitted to use government property, in this instance the museum, for an event, I mean, what you should have is a use agreement, use policy, hold harmless agreement, insurance by the entity who's holding the event, naming the township as an additional insured, having their own general liability insurance, so the township's interest is protected. That's the way it operates. Should always operate that way. The fact that there's people who sit and they're, you know, maybe the historians or township employees happen to be on that doesn't change that, as far as I'm concerned. Because, again, my concern is the township. My concern is the township, ensuring the township's protected, its officials are protected, its employees are protected. And then where the ethical issue becomes is that right? When you have individuals who are township or their government employees, officials, and they're and they can have interest, but they can't commingle. And then this sort of dovetails into the newsletter ad policy. And that's another ethical issue where there was a town where there was a particular issue, where the mayor utilized the town's services to send out a letter to all the taxpayers saying, hey, had to do with the zoning question. You know, we don't want to, I can't remember if they didn't want to support it. I have the case telling residents, you know, not to support it. Well, then somebody filed an ethics complaint, and then ultimately what the state said, you know, you can't utilize taxpayer services, taxpayer dollars, whether it's actual dollars, but services, paper and stuff, for this private, because it was an actually private entity looking for this use variance, because it gives them an unfair advantage, right? They just have to rely on their own in order to do it. So you end up giving these entities, organizations, unfair advantages. So, and that's a different perspective where you have to check all those boxes as well. So,
So we can come back to this next.
Yeah, I was going to say we'll come back to it.
Yeah, it's a little, you know, it can get a little complicated. And then, you know, and I know you have the newsletter ad policy, and, you know, a question came out relative to that. And, you know, and you have to be careful with ads and advertising, but a lot of times what happens is, you know, where do you draw the line for accepting ads? So, you know, what happens if one of your favorite organizations who operate a different type of gentleman's club in town decides that they want to put an ad on your newsletter? Tell them no? Or some, you know, other organization, whether it's left wing or right wing, come in and they say, hey, we want to put an ad in your newspaper or your newsletter. Are you going to say no? I mean, legally, you can't discriminate based upon that. And then the same issue comes with respect to, you have a township newsletter that's basically funded with taxpayer dollars. And even though you have these advertisements, it probably doesn't cover the cost of the whole thing. You know, if in fact, depending on what the advertisement is or how it is, are you now giving that organization an unfair advantage because, you know, you're doing something that benefits them, and using, you know, even though it's a 501c3, using the taxpayers' dollars. Mm-hmm. So those are always concerns, and I always, you know, like a lot of towns, when websites became the norm, you know, they talked about, well, how can we put advertising on our website? Well, you shouldn't really advertise. You have sponsors. But then the question becomes, well, where do you draw the line, right? So when we open that Pandora's box, it becomes a Pandora's box. So it's a concern that I have always had for my municipal clients. And again, it goes back, and I understand the idea of trying to offset costs. But then there's always a process to do it, is that when governmental entities get into these types of venues or these operations, they're not really equipped because you have limitations. And there are certain laws that apply to you because you're a government that don't apply to other people who are private. And governments become easy targets. So, you know, I think it's something that you need to look at. And I know this is something that because of that towns have done, they, you know, there's companies out there that they'll actually put the product together. They go out and, you know, they get all the advertisement, but it's, they put it out. The town doesn't put it out. And what the town does, it gives them the content. And all the content goes to them, but it's all township content. And they put it on whatever, whether it's a magazine or, you know, if it's a newsletter, but a lot of towns will have a magazine. And so now the advertiser, through this third party, they're the one who does it. They put it out, but they need and then the content is from the entity, from the governmental entity, and that's all they're providing is the content. Now, go ahead.
So we're obviously on the newsletter policy. A lot of questions in there. First, just starting from the end. We have an independent contractor who prepares and edits our newsletter.
Right.
Are we in that situation then, where we supply the content, township organizations supply the content, that contractor prepares it, deals with the advertisement? It sounds like functionally we're set up that way, but who
actually pays for the preparation and does the mailing?
An independent company does the mailing.
But who pays for it?
We pay the contractor to do it. No doubt about that.
Right.
And we probably pay directly to the mailing person.
Right.
But the question I wanted to explore a little bit was, we're not, given that it's a township newsletter, it's not a freedom of speech issue, correct? It's the township can decide what it wants to have in it.
Well, that's a good question. So right. So now what you should have is established, you have a policy like anything else, right?
So that's my question.
Right.
Is it possible to distinguish, for example, I know when we were talking about a sign ordinance, we were trying to distinguish issue ads, or issue signs, but in this case, issue ads versus commerce ads.
Yeah, there's a distinction.
If we can make that distinction in a policy and an ordinance.
That's a distinction, because then you don't want to advocate, right?
Exactly.
And you don't want to be seen as advocating.
Exactly.
Because
I think...
Because that becomes one of the ethical issues, is because that gives that entity an unfair advantage. Because look, your newsletter goes presumably every home in the township, right?
Yeah.
Presumably, yeah. Right? So that becomes an ethical issue, and then freedom of speech is another issue.
So the ads do pay something like 40% of
right.
the 40s, depending on the issue, it's four times a year. So it's a substantial amount,
but it's not everything.
To me, it's not everything, and that's right. not the biggest reason to advertise. I think most of the advertising, if not all of it, are local business people advertising
sure.
to the
yeah.
local community. And so it's, in some ways, it's a community service to the merchants and to the residents who say, Where can I get that service? Oh,
yeah.
Here's somebody local.
Yeah.
So ideally, I'd like to be able to keep that. But I definitely see the problem. I mean, we already talked tonight. There's a group that the township doesn't agree with. Do we have issue ads? Do we have political campaign ads?
Right. That's right.
If we can legally describe the difference.
I think you have to do. I think, and again, this is because this just came
to
my attention. So
trying to have that policy.
Right, you have to look at it and talk about policies, and then how operationally, you have to fully understand how the township handles it. My job is to protect the town the best I can and to protect everyone here, including taxpayers. The last thing you want is a salt lawsuit, and it goes now, and the taxpayers, it's on their back. So I think it's multifaceted on that whole idea, and a lot of towns have confronted it. But you start thinking, especially now, where there's things out there that I don't know. Even 25 years ago, you never would have thought that you would have to think about it, but it's out there. And then they're going, hey, I want an ad. I'm in. I'm not naming names, but I'm in your town. So hey.
Right. I'm just saying, as the part of the group that actually decides the policy of the township, I would look to the legal input to say, if we have to restructure the agreement with the service provider to make sure we've got, we definitely do that. If there's a way to articulate issue ads or to distinguish issue ads so it's black and white enough that we say, oh, this is a local tradesperson. No problem.
Yeah.
This is an issue. We're not going to accept it, no matter which side of an issue.
No, I get it. Yeah,
those are
some of the issues. Some of the concerns that certainly I had when the mayor had asked me just about it, and I just off the top of my head, without knowing the ultimate details, and just having confronted that before, especially when it came to towns and their websites, and wanted to put people sponsors on there, and again, I mean. I counseled against it because there's a lot of different issues. It's the same idea with Facebook, right? When you have a Facebook page, things that get posted on Facebook pages. Whenever you have public, anything dealing with the public, you definitely should have policies in place so at least everyone knows and everyone's on the same page to know what the township is allowing and not allowing. Everyone's treated equally, and then with that, you have to ensure that those policies conform with whatever the law requires, right? So.
Yeah. This is even way more than I thought we were going to get into tonight.
Sorry about that.
No, that's good. It's actually good. I didn't want to put you on the spot. I knew it was just really to open a discussion. But I also thought about, just as you were talking about this, if you have, in full disclosure, you have an employee that's the independent contractor now, and there's an issue, does that independent contractor have to have insurance or something?
To have to look at it.
Yeah, those are the things.
I need to understand all the issues so I can put my... hands around it, my head around it.
Yeah. All right.
But, you know, it's, yeah, look, things happen, and laws change. I mean, what you could have, you know, what you could have done 10, 15 years ago, not necessarily what you can do today. I mean, that happens all the time, you know, so, and especially when it, you know, because obviously we didn't have Twitter, Facebook when I was on township committee back in 2000. I don't know, what the heck was that, right? I don't know. So a lot of those things you deal with.
X now.
So, you know, you deal with all kinds of things.
No more Twitter. The bird's gone.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I don't tweet or Facebook, so I don't know. Anyway, so I think those are, look, they're important issues for the town, and my focus is, it's always been, is just to keep you guys on straight and narrow best I can.
Yep. Hey. Good, you're doing a good job. Next up is me. I just wanted to give everybody an IT update, and something happened today that really, I couldn't believe it. You remember, I think Daryl remembers this, when you Google the website, you know how it would list a certain person or category that's no longer here anymore? So, after talking and...
spelled wrong.
Oh, in what in the planning board?
Yes.
I'll have to have that checked.
Two R's.
All right. Daryl, two R's. So anyway, this is just a side story. I said, you know, I give up asking to have this thing fixed. It's been going on for how many months now? I don't know, 9 months? So I saw, when I went to Google, I saw that you could give feedback. So I said, this is never going to go anywhere. But I gave the feedback. It's gone. And they added some more categories. Like they looked at our site and they actually delineated some. I'm assuming, I mean, I just did this like 3 days ago. So I don't know if it's me or some miracle, but it worked. So... So that was just a side note, but what I wanted to do is, and just let you know, so the museum is done, the DPW is done, everybody up here is done as of today, except for, and it isn't yours, Greg, I just checked, it's Joanne's, that is done. There's another one for you, apparently.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
So the future clerk and the CFO are the only remaining ones upstairs here.
Good.
And also the and then I'm going to get into some more later. This is so complicated. Both new servers have been added to the respective networks, but the old servers haven't been decommissioned yet, and they won't be for a few weeks. And that's so we can ensure we didn't miss anything during the migration over, and that's standard operating procedure when you're doing a domain migration like this, because you're picking up, you know, we had somebody else before we had the ESC. So when you're dealing with picking it up from another firm, another support company, they said it's better to be safe than sorry, so they can make sure everything transferred over. And then what was interesting, I'm a project manager. I'm not an IT person, but I did ask the question, geez, you know what? If the ESC can't help us and we have an emergency, should we have a backup? Maybe keep the person, you know, ad hoc. And you know what the response was? The best response. That's like having two cleaning people, but only one has a set of keys to the house, because you can't get in because of the permissions and everything that you need, permissions and credentials. So here's a couple of issues that are coming up, but they're solvable. It's like I thought this would be done. I mean, the servers were delayed by 2 months. There, this thing would have been done. However, we still would have had this issue. The police. Have I guess the state has software now that's being changed or can't. So we have an IP address, and we can't use that IP address, so we had to go back to Comcast and get in two new IP addresses. However, you can only buy them in blocks of five, so we're going to have three left over. So bottom line is they need to the ESC needs to update a piece of equipment that connects all the law enforcement agencies. And John and Detective Tim Savage and myself are kind of coordinating to get the police, all of the police done by mid-September. They're feeling confident. The other sticky wicket is in January, Vital, which is the software that the tax collector uses, is going out of business. So I feel like I'm in hell, and I'm just like burning. I you know, it's like the project that never ends. It's like hell. So we're gonna have to. I was working with our tax collector on that. She's got a couple of ideas for software. Now, she's managed by the state, but she mentioned something about what the county is doing. So she's got something in mind, and she mentioned that Bridgewater uses it, and it was actually cheaper, and it's more user-friendly, and it also interfaces with the tax assessor's software. So that would be a really – I thought that sounded good to me, but we still have to investigate. So that just all happened, like, last Thursday I was talking to her. And then the final – last piece would be, we've got that, I mentioned the museum, we have a Chromecast device that we can install over there. It was $53, and they'll be able to project from any device in that room, even if they have somebody visit, that person can use their computer and project onto the TV that's in there. It'll make it a smart TV or whatever. Again, I'm not technical. So we're almost there, you know, and then it's just going to be a matter of these, you know, these software things that are going on. But what I did want to, I was in my hour of darkest despair the other night after knowing this thing was going on, and I did not ask for this, and I'm not going to mention names, but somebody wrote to me that got their computer fixed and said, I must say I truly accomplished more tonight than I would have with Old Faithful. The person was using their own and also ours, but ours would crash because this should have been done 5 years ago, and it's not, so here we are. But they wrote, these are nice systems and worth the wait. Very high-tech stuff, the gentleman explained. It's nice to be able to work in Excel and not have it crash or shut down, to have to start up and enter a few items that did not save. Between this and, I'm not going to mention the system because it'll give it away, I am very hopeful. Excellent job, Beverly. Thank you. Even the email is faster. Truly amazing how great technology can be when it works. So that was that. Just, it kept me going because I was just,
I'll
like,
make that motion.
What? So that's the update. The long story to the short update. So with that, I think we're the Hunterdon County. Next up is Hunterdon County Commissioners meeting will be here on September 5th, the Tuesday before our Wednesday meeting. The commissioners are going to meet in this building. They're bringing all their own equipment. I asked all these questions because if something wasn't working, I don't want them to have a problem. They're bringing their own clerk. They're bringing everything. They just need me to open the door. So I'm going to be here for the meeting. So with that, that's we're up to a presentation of the vouchers.
I have one for the county open space tax that we collect and pay to them for $90,718.59.
I have one here for Roselli, Griegel, Lazier, Lazaro for legal services for July for $2,500. I also have another one for Martucci Engineering Services rented for state aid research from 626 to 720 for $1,250. I have one for GTEC Capital, which is a tax lien redemption, for block 44, lot 20, $93,312.93. I have the premium notice for GTEC Capital for block 44, lot 20, in the amount of $30,000. And I have another one here for the county of Hunterdon, third quarter county taxes, $949,877.57.
Warren Asphalt, $2,719.59. Allegiance Trucks, Flemington, $1,531.91. C&M Auto Parts, $4,099 even. And Griffith Allied Trucking, gasoline, $2,061.36. That's it.
I have none that apply. So the total bill list for the period ending August 16th, 2023 is $1,282,000. Oh, did we have Abe's?
We didn't read Abe's.
You know, I don't want to make that mistake again because then we have to wait.
Abe's are under the threshold to qualify from what I see.
Well, that's good.
So
we're good.
Yeah.
So his don't apply.
Before we do that,
yeah,
I'm looking at the county library in here, and I didn't see it in my folder. So the check has been... Can someone help me out? I just passed the county library in this. I think we should read it out. It's like $90-some thousand dollars.
unless I just see anything.
I'll be here.
County Open Space, County Library. There's a couple in here that I don't see in my folder. Now, doesn't mean they're in there. I may have missed them, but I'd like to read these anyway. The County of Hunterdon Library, third quarter library tax is $93,276.23. The other one is the County of Hunterdon Open Space.
I did that.
You did that one. Okay.
So, Tom, that was the library for what?
County. For the county library. Did you do that?
No, but for how, what length of time was that?
The Hunterdon County Library.
The same quarter, yeah. The quarter tax.
The quarter.
But it's
third
not,
quarter.
And it's not
yes.
in his,
third quarter.
His
I didn't,
packet.
I didn't see
so.
It. It may be in there. I didn't see it, so I just wanted to read it.
Where'd Greg go? He disappeared. He might go and
yeah,
get
he'll
it.
Be back.
Maybe he's got it. All right, well, we can come back to it if we're, because
well,
you
we
don't want to.
It's included in the bill.
Yeah, okay, so, all right, yeah. So let me start back here. Okay, so the bill list for the period ending August 16th, 2023 is $1,282,197.31. Can I get a motion to approve the bill list?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Next up is just correspondence, which is we have the May 2023 Lebanon Township Environmental Open Space Commission meeting minutes. And I don't know, Sharon, do you want to say anything about the deer permit? Isn't that, that's coming up. Are we going to have the lottery in 2 days, right? Have yeah, come on up. Just we'll make it a informal. Yeah.
So the lottery for permits to hunt Lebanon Township open space properties for deer will be held this Friday. The police station, Lebanon Township Police Station, handles the lottery, and so any applications can be submitted before the lottery date if you want to hunt fall bow on township properties. The application is up on their website. Has been updated and on our website, and just cahoots to our mayor and to the police office manager Aaron
for, and you
and helping. Well, it was a good teamwork to get
his girl power.
And just pay attention for the next lottery dates for permit bow and for winter bow. Mm-hmm. That'll take place, I believe. I want to say October, maybe October 6th and December 1st, mm-hmm. but. Don't quote me on that.
Mm-hmm. And the maps are up too. Everything's up.
Everything's up.
It's great, and they're everything's great. Little and deer on the maps.
And press release in the Hunterdon Review as well was published. So,
good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, and then next up we have just a piece of correspondence from the North Hunterdon Food Pantry Open House September 9th. I'm not going to say it. 2023 from 12 to 2 p.m. North Hunterdon Food Pantry is 24 Skinner Road in Glen Gardner. So you come out, you can meet our pantry volunteers, walk through the pantry facility, see what's available to the clients. Just general questions. It's just to create awareness of the pantry, because I think some people are using Clinton because they don't know about ours over here. All right. Next up, open the public. Can I get a motion to open the public comment for anything anybody wants to talk about?
Make a motion to open the public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Oh. So I just want to get some clarification about this Squires Point Insurance. So if the township decides not to pay for this insurance, is Squires Point going to get insurance that would be the equivalent of what the township has been paying for?
I think that's up to Squires Point.
It's obviously up to Squires Point, but
I wouldn't answer that here.
You have no idea whether they will or they won't?
If they'll get the equivalent policy, I have no idea right now.
It's a general liability policy. So I don't know.
I'm trying to get clarity on is whether the township bought a policy that was just something that Squires Point wouldn't have done and won't do going forward, or anything close to it. So it was just some sort of redundant, basically in the view of Squire's point, unnecessary policy that the township decided to take on, or whether it was something that Squire's point would have done and will do if the township doesn't pay for it now.
I guess I'm not going to address Squire's point issues here. I don't know where you're getting your assumptions from, but it's...
I'm not making any assumptions. I'm asking a question.
Squire's point is a private organization that's not going to be addressed from this dais.
Okay. Well, I thought because you're involved in both organizations, you might know.
I have ideas and I know, but you know, I'm not going to ask about your homeowner's insurance. So I'm not going to discuss...
My homeowner's insurance isn't being paid for by the township.
And Squire's point may not be either.
Well, it may not be. That's the subject. But it has been, right? It has been.
Again, to choose your words carefully, it's not been paid for by the township. The township took out a policy on behalf of Squire's Point.
No, that's not true. You know what? I can't get a copy of that policy without you approving that.
I understand.
And neither
that.
Can he.
I understand that. It's Squire's Point policy, but the township called Groendyke Insurance, mm-hmm. specified what the policy was, paid for it.
But we can't get a copy without your approval.
Well, we did.
Squire's Point approval.
As soon as I heard of it, Squire's Point authorized that to be sent. I don't know when you asked.
Did you ever get a copy from Faith?
I may have.
I mean, it was just the other day.
We're not holding that back, the township's policy.
Okay, so it's not a policy in the name of the township. It's a policy in the name of Squire's Point. Okay, and somebody writes a check to Groendyke to pay for the policy, right?
Historically, they have, yes.
And that's the township.
What they're going to do now. Yeah, the township.
The township has sent a check to Groendyke for a policy that's in the name of Squire's Point.
Right. Because the township felt it was in the township's interest to write that check.
Okay.
It was never requested by Squire's Point.
Well, while you were the mayor, it was done, right?
I don't think I was the mayor the first year it was done, but it may have been, and I may have abstained. Okay. I don't remember.
All right. So, but the point is to say that, you know, the township hasn't paid for something for Squire's Point. It's just misleading because...
Well, no, I didn't say... Okay.
I'm sorry. I thought that's what you did say. They have paid for something for Squire's Point. They paid for something for Squire's Point because Squire's Point had insurance. They got the benefit of it, and the township paid for it. And if they continue to do it, they'll do it again this year. And if they don't do it, Squire's Point has to either decide we don't need insurance,
correct.
Which they may decide,
correct.
Or that we do need insurance, in which case they'll write a check. So correct. Obviously the township, if they do that, the township will have been paying for something that Squire's Point otherwise would have paid for. And we'll see. You're right. We don't know yet. You'll all decide what you want to do. But if, in fact, you get insurance after the township decides not to pay for insurance, it's pretty clear then that the township has been paying for something that Squire's Point otherwise would have paid for, right? The only way that's not true is if you don't get insurance.
In a hypothetical sense, that's true, but I'm not sure what your point is.
My point is that you just during the earlier discussion, you just said, "Well, this is just something the township decided to do." Wasn't like they donated money to a 501c3. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. That's exactly what they did. They paid for an expense of the private organization of Squire's Point. They paid for it just as much as if they had written a check for your accountant's fees, or if they had written a check for your electric bill or anything else. Same thing. It's just another expense.
Okay, we have a difference of opinion on that.
What it's not an expense of Squire's Point? A Squire's Point insurance policy is not an expense of Squire's Point?
If the township felt that Squire's Point should have electricity, then they would pay the electric bill. What I'm saying is the township, for whatever reason, and I wasn't involved in that, felt that Squire's Point should have liability insurance, so the township bought that policy. The township didn't do it because they wanted Squire's Point to have a donation for its work.
Well, regardless of their motivation of why
but
they...
But it's not... If that, you can't take the motivation
out. No, you can.
You're welcome to, but...
It doesn't really matter.
I've said as much as I can say, and then you can have your opinion as public comment and have your opinion.
Okay. Well, I guess what will be interesting is whether Squire's Point acquires insurance if the township stops paying for it. That will be interesting. Because if they have no insurance, then I suppose you could make the argument that, well, the township was just paying for something for the township. It really had it was in the name of Squire's Point, but it really had nothing to do with Squire's Point. But if, in fact, Squire's Point re-ups that insurance or some equivalent or any kind of insurance at the expense of Squire's Point, then it'll be pretty clear that the township was paying an expense that Squire's Point needed to incur and would have incurred otherwise. That's all. And we'll see. We'll see what they do.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll see, because hopefully the township won't be paying it.
I'm trying to think back in my head. I don't seem to remember, like, our attorney putting that on the agenda. Somebody on the committee put it on the agenda back in 2000. I mean, that's why I think I'd like to listen to the audio. If we can find the date and what the rationale was for it. So, any other public comment?
Well, I sort of have the same opinion as Mr. Webb does, but it seems to me, I know that Squire's Point, as you stated, serves the community. But then again, you, as our elected officials, serve this community, correct? And I would assume, even though as many people are entitled to be served by Squire's Point, more people, more residents in this township are served by all of you. So that, when we talked about the reorganization meeting, you yourself had mentioned that you didn't think it was right to spend $1,500 of taxpayers' money to have a party. And I know that Darrell said the same thing. But what's the difference of spending money for a reorganization meeting that I think that all of you are entitled to versus Squire's Point getting insurance that maybe some residents don't want to pay for?
So what I, just to reiterate what I said, the attorney isn't prepared to have a view if it's not in the interest of the township to buy this insurance policy, then the township shouldn't buy the insurance policy. I have that hat on with the township. Squire's Point has not asked the township to buy insurance. They won't ask the township to buy insurance. The township chose and felt, for whatever reason, back in 2018 or whatever, to buy this insurance policy for Squire's Point.
I understand that. We're just trying to make sure that we are aware of the fact that you can't have one and not the other. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, the township chose, because you're saying we voted for it back in... It wasn't that, like I said, the attorney didn't put it on the agenda saying we need to pay for Squire's Point. It was that somebody put it on the agenda.
Somebody on this committee. Somebody who evaluated the liability profile of the township felt that that insurance policy should be purchased.
Yeah, and I also think if for some reason it happens to be that we would pay this, it's beyond abstention. You're involved. You're going to have to recuse yourself.
Yeah.
So not abstain.
Okay.
So. Okay, so we'll move on from there. Any more public comment?
Hi, Terry Height from Boulderfield. I don't know what's going on with the road up there. Okay, I came in and asked when they were going to be paving the road and if they've made provisions for the water company to be responsible to do it properly if they have to dig it up. But the other day, about maybe 3 weeks ago, my husband walks up there. I would suggest people to drive up there because there's so many holes, okay? He fell in the morning in one of the holes, and he really got hurt, okay? So what he did when, I guess about 9 o'clock, he called the township, the transportation, and I believe he talked to Warren Gabriel, and he told him that on the top of Boulder Field, there's a hole, and it had opened up because of all the rain. And so I just wanted to make a comment. Warren came up that day. He was there within an hour, I think, probably less. Mm-hmm. And he's patched up a lot of the holes. So I just want to give credit that if there's a problem, he's right on it. But the road is going to be a dirt road if we don't figure out what we're going to do up there because it really is in bad shape.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I want him to be given credit.
Okay.
I forgot to mention, and I think that Mike is quite aware that at the corner of Mount Lebanon Road and Point Mountain Road, across from the old Grange Hall, there is a drain. Well, that drain, it really needs one of those concrete tanks, because if someone were to cut that corner too sharp with a Mack truck, you're going to have to look down to see it. It is really deep, and somebody is at some point going to get hurt there. And I'd appreciate that someone would take a look at that.
Okay. Any other public comment? Seeing none, can I get a motion to close public comment?
I'll make the motion to close public comment.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And with that, we're going to go into executive session to discuss personnel, attorney-client privilege issues, and that's resolution number 104-2023. No action is anticipated. Can I get a motion for resolution 104-2023 to go into executive session?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Executive session.
Oh, okay. Okay. All the resolution about something.
Hello.
Thank you. How you doing?
I didn't like one of the positions.